here. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. I want to say that the revelation that's set forth in this 20th chapter, it sets forth a beautiful, glorious picture of a true believer. Here's Abraham, a man who is truly one that knows God, believes God, but he's also a shadow and type of every one of God's mercy, how the Lord deals with his people. And there's a real blessing. I'd like to deal with the first six verses of this chapter, but there's a blessing in seeing something of Abraham's walk, his struggles, his stumbles, his doubts, and the deliverance of the Lord in those struggles. I need this. You need this. We need to see how the Lord deals with his people in our daily walk. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. This is a man that God had given a great promise. A promise of God's graciousness and mercy to undeserving sinners. A promise that was received from God, but it's received by faith. Faith that's given from above. And Abraham believed on the Lord. And the scripture says, and it was counted unto him. Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. And then we see something here concerning Abraham that is a marvelous revelation. Look in Romans chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. Listen to this promise. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world. Now, I just want to make a statement on that right there. He'd be the heir of the world. And looking at the words and the commentators that I read, it's pretty universal. There's agreement here. It means, when it says an heir of the world, it means a possessor of God's spiritual blessings in this world, but also in the world to come. So being an heir of the world, an heir of the spiritual blessings of God. So verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. But where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, I want you to notice the promise in verse 16 is by faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure. If it was of the keeping of the law that these promises would be given unto us, our keeping of the law, there would be no promise given, because by the works of the law, no flesh is going to be justified before God. But it is a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was said to be the father of us all. That is, Abraham was a type of all God's people. Abraham was obviously a type of God's people and where he was found. The scripture says that Abraham was an idol worshiper. Joshua 24, verses 1 to 2. This is the Spirit of God moved on this man to pen this. Joshua 24, 1 to 2. It says, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads, for their judges, for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old times, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So, where does the Lord find his people? Well, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. I tell you where he finds all his people, all of us. We were all idol worshipers. Well, you say, I wasn't an idol worshiper. I was, I'll beg to pardon with you there, but we worshiped ourselves. We worshiped our wills. We worshiped our works. We worshiped our ability, thinking that we were able. An idol is the worship of anything but God. That includes me and you. It's an idol. An idol. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. The scripture says, verses 1 to 3, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also, and listen to what Paul's saying, we all had our conversation, our walk of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So that's us. Abraham was a picture, a type, a father of us all. That's where the Lord finds all of us. Secondly, I tell you, he was a type to whom the God of all grace came in mercy. In Acts chapter 7, now the Spirit of God was moving on Luke to pen something that a man named Stephen said. He was given a defense of the gospel. And God moved on this man, Luke, to write something. Here's what Luke said in Acts chapter 7 in verse 2. And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. Now, no vessel, you can stay right there, I'm going to read one more verse in Acts 7, but no vessel of God's mercy ever of his own desire, of his own will, seeks after God. No man seeketh after God. No, we're going to seek ourselves, we're going to seek our way, our will, our thoughts, but no vessel will seek him. We're all as an unclean thing. And we have no desire, being born in Adam, no desire to reconcile ourselves or be reconciled to the just God before whom we're all going to stand. Our God appeared. That's what he said. He appeared unto our Father. That's where he found him. He was an idol worshiper, and God came to him. Why did God come to him? Because God chose to. That's what he said. He chose to. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And thirdly, he was a type of faithfulness. Faithfulness. When God called Abraham, and here I'll be in Acts 7. I want to read a verse here, verse 3. But when God called Abraham, he called him to separate himself from all that pertained to his old life and love. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 3. And said unto him, this is Stephen still speaking, said unto him, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, come unto the land which I will show thee. So does the Lord not call his own that way? Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. And the Lord calls his people in power and makes them willing in that day of his power. And they come. They come. When the Lord called Matthew, you know what happened. The Lord walked by the table of seed of custom, picking taxes, you know. And we said, follow me. Left it. Followed him. You know, he arose, the scripture says, and follow him. So Abraham had God's promise of an inheritance. An inheritance, a promise that wasn't according to works. It was according to God's gift and grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How did we get that? How do we get that promise? How do we get it? Scripture says in Luke 12, the Lord speaking, verse 32, this is what the Lord says. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you that kingdom of his dear Son. To be his. Ours, that promise is ours. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I know I'm having you turn a lot. That's okay. We need to look at these scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1. This promise, precious promise, secured by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 to 14. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You know, isn't that, you know, you hear me say so many times, does God call his people any other way except through the preaching of the gospel? No. I mean, there's so many, you know, so many scriptures. But this is one of them right here. Listen to what he said, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So, knowing that as fallen creatures of dust, we have no will, we have no ability, we have no right to be an heir of God. We don't have any right in ourselves. But Romans 4:16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, again, as I just brought out a moment ago, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, thanks be unto God for the surety of our inheritance. That inheritance, that is by the grace of God, because of our total inability to obtain it any other way. It's either going to be by grace or by our works. And I can tell you, it won't be by our works. So let's see how our inability is manifested, even in light of God promising our inheritance to us while we walk through this world. Abraham now, remember, is a picture, it's a type. He's the father of us all. This is a man who believed God. This man knew God. And we're going to look at first six verses right here, and we're going to see how we are by nature. But in light of the manifestation of our inability, oh, how wonderful it is to behold the sufficiency of God's grace. Now, Genesis 20, verse 1 and 2. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, now this is something they decided when they first left. They were going to come out and Abraham said, now listen, you have to understand, she's 89. She may be 90, but she's sure 89. 89 years old. And what he's afraid of is because of her beauty. She's almost 90 years old because of her beauty. He's afraid that you know, somebody will kill him for her. I just thought, I'll come to that later in there. And just, you want to know what my initial thoughts are? So I'll give you a heads up. If you think, you know where I'm going with this. How beautiful is the bride robed in the righteousness of Christ? That's it, isn't Fred? That's, I mean, by just thinking, but I'm just thinking. I'll just tell you, but we'll look at it later. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now, we're not told the reason why specifically Abraham was leaving from the place where he was, why he was going toward the south. Possibly he'd seen the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the plains, and he beholding the absolute justice and wrath of Almighty God and God's anger, he leaves. But here we see something that is common again to all believers. He's the father of us all. Something that's common in this, it's this point. This world, there's nothing settling in this world. There's no foundations in this world. I mean, we might live in a, you know, house, and it might be set on some concrete, but it's just shifting sand. It's not stable. There's nothing stable about it. This world affords no lasting comfort. Nothing. If you have X amount of dollars, if I had just a little bit more, I'd be set. If you got that, it's just going, the bar is just going to go higher. It's nothing. Nothing's ever settled. If I got, you know, got rid of my old clunker, if I could just get me a little bit better car, that car is going to break down too. It's not that, nothing. So here's a picture of us. He's moving. He sojourned. He pulled up and was a stranger that lodged in Gerar. And like Abraham, we're all sojourners, pilgrims in this world. Hebrews 11 verse 9, talking about Abraham, it says, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise given to all God's sheep. So here we are, the sheep, the elect of God's pasture in this world, but not of it. Turn to John 17, 13. John, the Gospel of John 17. John 17, verse 13. I need to get in John instead of Luke. All right, John 17. Now come I to thee, the Lord praying to his Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And we know, seeing Abraham's sojourning, traveling, pilgrim, we're in a place, this is not our home. This is not, every believer, this, you know, there's a spirit of knowledge and revelation. You know that this is not where you truly, finally belong. That's not it. Abraham looked for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's what we look for. There's so much that we don't know. We see by faith. And we know that there's an inheritance. The Lord said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it wasn't so, I'd tell you. And I mean, in my little fickle mind, I try to grasp hold of that. And the greatest thoughts that I can have of those dwelling places, I know is just nothing. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for those that love him. I know that. But I know that there's that glory beyond this. I know, and you that believe, you know that too. And this is Abraham. He's journeying, he's looking for that city. But now journeying, he comes to this place, Gerar. He dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, sojourned in Gerar. And being in Gerar, he exhibited the effect of the old man that's found in all of us. He came there, and what he did was he's going to introduce his wife, Sarah. He said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now, she's my sister. You know, Proverbs 29:25 says this, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." I'm not going to plan to deal with verse 11 tonight, but after Abimelech was told of God, what we're going to look at in just a second, Abimelech said to Abraham, asked him a question. He said, "Why have you done this? Why'd you do this?" Look at verse 11. Abraham said, "Because I thought." Now, buddy, now this is where we get in trouble, right here. "I thought." That's about like Naaman. Remember that? Naaman, the leper. He was a Syrian. And that little maid from Israel said, "There's a prophet. There's a prophet back here. Go." And he went over there and he you know, Naaman, because, you know, the prophet wouldn't come out, Elisha wouldn't come out. He sent his servant out there. He said, "Go wash in Jordan River seven times. You'll be clean." That's what the servant said. Naaman, we got better rivers than that back, you know, where I'm from Syria. I'm not doing that. And his servant said, "You know, if he'd asked you to do something real tough, why don't you go back?" So he goes back to the prophet. And he says, "You know, I thought he'd come out and do something and heal me. I thought." This is what Abraham says. "I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place." Well, let me tell you something. Maybe, humanly speaking, the fear of God was not in that place, but God was in that place. The fear of God's not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. That's why he said what he said. You know, "She is my sister." The second time he's done this. Did it in Egypt with Pharaoh. And I thought to myself, this is the second time he's done the same thing. And I thought of myself, and I thought how many times I would be caught in something. And here's what I did. I'll never do that again. Never. Brethren, be wary. W-A-R-Y. Be wary of promising something that you don't possess the ability to keep. Don't promise God, don't promise yourself, because I'm telling you, pride, that's pride. "I'll never do that again." Oh my, I've said that a bunch of times in my life. "I'll never do that again." don't promise God what you can't keep. But oh, how merciful the Spirit of God is to teach us that as blessed a man as Abraham was, as we all are that know the Lord, here's the thing. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All of us, man in his best state, altogether vanity. How wonderful to know of the long suffering of our God toward his own. God is patient for Christ's sake. Verse 3, but God came, Abimelech took her. Verse 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. He took her. Abimelech took her. I like those first two words in verse 3. But God. Oh, the truth of God's promise. I will never leave thee. Not even in my inability. Not even in my struggling and my falterings. I will never leave thee. Nor forsake thee. Oh, the truth of God's promise. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Abraham, as we often do, fearfully assumed. I thought, we just looked at it. But the Lord will never allow his own to be completely carried away. Intervened on Abraham's behalf and in a dream spoke to Abimelech and gave him notice concerning Sarah, who she was, and the penalty of taking her who was another man's wife. The Lord told him, you're a dead man. I'm going to kill you. I'll kill you. How needful we need to be reminded of our infirmities and to be reminded of the mercy and graciousness and long-suffering of our God. Long-suffering. Oh, how thankful I am for that word. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. Mercy of God. Sarah was now in the king's possession, but thanks be unto the Lord that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. That's Proverbs 21:1. God spoke to him in a dream, pronounced judgment against him if he took her. And hearing in the dream the penalty of that crime against God, Abimelech pleads ignorance. Look at verse 4 and 5. But Abimelech had not come nearer. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she herself said, he's my brother in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands. Have I done this? You know, while the king naturally saw himself to be innocent, honorable. You know, the Lord has revealed that though a man thinks himself from the sole of a foot to the crown of the head, there's nothing, no soundness in it. Wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. Lord, in my innocence, in my honor, no, you just didn't have a chance yet to do it. You would have done it. He would have done it. He claimed innocency. He saw himself. Maybe he saw himself as being innocent in this right here. Or maybe he saw his city, you know, not being anything like Sodom. Though, you know, because he asked him, he said, Will thou slay also a righteous nation? Maybe he saw what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Gera was still there. And maybe in his mind he said, well, we're just better people. But Abimelech, though he had not come near her, it was only because God kept him from coming here. He was claiming himself to be something that he wasn't. And in verse 6, God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. I kept you from doing it. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now, in closing, I want to leave us with a very, very precious thought. Precious to me, I know it'll be precious to you. God had revealed to Abraham, turn back to Genesis 17. God had revealed to Abraham that the Messiah was going to come through him, through Abraham. Genesis 17, look at verse 7 and 8. Now listen to the wording. God speaking to Abraham, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Look at verse 15, 16 in chapter 17. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. Now listen to exactly what he said. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be of her. Now, I will bless her and give thee, Abraham, a son also of her. And she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. The Messiah was going to come through Abraham's seed and Sarah, his wife. Sarah is in the possession of Abimelech because they told him that this is my sister. That's what Abraham is. She's my sister. And he takes her. And she's in his possession. Harem, wherever, palace, whatever. God had promised Abraham, Sarah's going to have a son by you, Abraham. And God comes to Abimelech at night and says, you touch her, I'm going to kill you. I'll kill you. God's word, God's counsel is going to stand. God said, I kept you from touching her. He promised, he gave Abraham his word. God gave Abraham his word. You're going to have a son through Sarah. I'm telling you, no one was going to be able to say that Isaac was the son of Abimelech. God would kill that king before he would allow him to touch her. The foundation of God's promise, his word, the glory of Christ, the foundation of the sheep's security and peace was the issue. God's word stands sure. I got to thinking in closing, my thoughts after I'd studied this a little bit. And I thought, you know, Satan, I don't doubt one second, Satan would have loved. Can you imagine how the thoughts that possibly went through Satan's mind? Satan knew what, no doubt, I'm sure Satan knew that Abraham was given a promise of God. Can you imagine what he thought, Satan thought, if I can get Sarah and let Abimelech have Sarah, everything that God had promised would have been thwarted. But God. God kept her. God kept her safe. God protected her. God watched over her. God had promised Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And God's going to give him a son. It's going to come through Abraham. And from Abraham, right on down, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right down to the Messiah himself coming through that seed. Thanks be unto him. He rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no man stays his hand, not even Abimelech. I'll kill you. I pray God bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay.